ASBCA, it sounds like the people telling you to be nice to dogs. But it's really the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeal, and it's all about military contracting and what happens when it goes wrong. The board has adopted some new rules to help streamline things and iron out ambiguities. Here with more in this week's Legal Loop, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so the ASBCA, first of all, give us some background. What does it do? Is it like the GAO for military contracts?
Yeah, basically right. Government contract disputes either go to the Court of Federal Claims or one of two tribunals, the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals for military contracts and the Civilian Board of Contract Appeals for others. And the ASBCA, therefore, handles a lot of contract disputes. Probably more of these are filed with the boards than with the court.
All right, so now the ASBCA is updating some rules, and it takes 11 pages in the Federal Register, so that's pretty comprehensive. What are they up to?
Well, the changes to the rules are basically more administrative and updating them, clarifying them, but there are two new additions that are of significance. There are addenda to the rules for the Equal Access to Justice Act and for Alternative Dispute Resolution, or ADR.
Okay, and so why is that important?
Well, let's take Egypt first. I don't know if that's probably the lesser important of the two. The Equal Access to Justice Act was a sort of half-hearted attempt to reimburse successful small entities for their attorneys' fees and other fees in pursuing contract disputes. It's hemmed in with three big limitations, though. One is size. Generally, the entity can't have more than a $7 million net worth and needs to have fewer than 500 employees. The other is threshold. You don't recover attorney's fees unless the government's position in the litigation was not substantially justified. So the government had a reasonable basis to contest the claim. You probably won't get attorney's fees even if you win. And the third is limit. These fees were capped many years ago at $125 an hour. Some courts allow cost of living adjustments. I don't think the boards do. And good luck finding a decent attorney to represent you at that rate. So those three limitations are such that you're probably not going to have much impact on the EJIA claims are going to be relatively rare and far between.
But there is something important sounding in there, and that is when you say the government reimbursement circumstances, it sounds like that's a way to prevent frivolous arguments by the government.
Basically, that's exactly right. It at least limits them if the person bringing the action meets the size thresholds. I guess larger entities are, have to bear their own costs in fighting frivolous cases, but smaller ones get at least some relief through EJIA.
And this $125 an hour for attorneys to do that's like something probably from 1970.
Well, it wasn't enough back when it was passed in the 90s, and it certainly isn't enough right now. But the more important of the two regulations, if we can pivot to that, is ADR, the rules on alternative dispute resolution. That, I think, is a significant area, and there have been lots of successes in government contract dispute resolution through ADR.
So ADR, the alternative, is alternative to the board itself, in other words.
Right. Instead of going through a trial-type proceeding at the Board of Contract Appeals, at some point during the case, the parties stop proceedings before the board and try to work things out through a type of structured negotiation called alternative dispute resolution. And there are lots of different types of ADR, but the most common one, at least when it's used by the board, is a mediation using a board member as a neutral. And to explain what that is, basically a board member who will not decide the case if it goes through the normal process, who's independent, will communicate with the parties, both separately and together, and find out what their positions are, and then generally give the parties an assessment, an independent, frank assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of their position. And as a result of that feedback and the discussions that are held, very many of these cases are able to settle.
Is alternative dispute resolution the same as arbitration?
No. Arbitration is a binding process, and it results in a sort of more informal court-type proceeding. Mediation can take a lot of different approaches. One of the features of mediation is that the things you say in mediation aren't admissible evidence. So people can be more frank in the course of this type of a proceeding and not worry about it hurting them further on down the road. You can be more you can acknowledge, for instance, that part of your case might not be as strong as the rest of it, and that won't hurt you if the case has to go to hearing. The result of mediation, of this ADR, though, the success rate has been really, really high. The Justice Department's figures, and they're not all that prone to settle, show that it's successful about 75% of the time. And the Air Force, I saw some statistics from the Air Force suggesting it was successful 90% of the time. So that's a pretty stunning success rate. It avoids the cost and uncertainty of litigation. And in some cases, in my view, it results in a better and a fairer adjudication or settlement of the dispute than going through the process.
Well, a couple of questions. Is ADR binding, or can, if somebody doesn't like what the alternative dispute resolution resulted in, can they still go ahead and have a regular process through the board?
The parties can agree on a binding process. Usually they don't. Usually they want to leave the option to say, nope, we're going to go back and litigate the case. So it is possible, but it's not the ordinary situation.
Because the case I was thinking of has nothing to do with the government, but that was the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network dispute between the Nationals and the Orioles. And they went to arbitration and came up with something, and then the Orioles went back and took it to court anyway, where the arbitration was tossed out. So
yeah,
that is still possible here in federal contracts with the Defense Department.
Well, even in a binding arbitration, there are limited circumstances in which the arbitration can in fact be tossed out. I haven't seen any cases, though, in which a binding ADR process in the government was tossed out. There may be one, but it's not going to be the usual situation.
We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. And so in ADR, when you say the outcomes are sometimes better, what does that mean? Because usually in contract disputes, one party wants the contract voided, and so they can get it or recompete it. What's better than that?
Well, in a contract dispute, you're talking, largely about whether or not the contract should have been terminated for default, and to some extent you're talking, or you may be talking about, is the contractor entitled to more money, or is the government entitled to some kind of refund or warranty claim? So you're either arguing about money, which makes things easier to settle, or you're arguing about a termination for default, which has economic consequences. It's a lot easier to compromise a case when you've got a sum of cash involved, and you then have a spectrum upon which to result in a resolution of it. In addition, sometimes the law and the contract clauses are set up so that it's kind of an all or nothing thing. One party wins, the other party loses. And in the real world, sometimes a fair resolution involves shared responsibility or shared blame. And a mediated settlement allows you to share the responsibility or share the blame for a situation where that's appropriate. Sometimes the law doesn't let you do that.
And do you feel that the ADR addition here, this addendum to the ASBCA rules, is because of the workload of the board, or they really wanted some of those outcomes you just described?
Well, it's partly a workload issue. I don't know if it's really people are sort of thinking of this as a sort of alternative set of legal theories. But the other main issue is that under the ordinary litigation process, things can drag out for quite some time. And many times the parties would like to get this over with and move on. And mediation offers you an opportunity to do that. But, you know, it's in most cases, though, you can't mediate successfully at the very beginning of a case. If one party feels the other party has important information that it's holding back and you can't, it doesn't know what that is, it's not going to be inclined to settle the case. But if you've had a certain amount of discovery and people are beginning to see the outlines of what the facts are, it makes it a lot easier to go forward and resolve things in mediation.
Now, there are 24 rules besides these addendums that were already there that you mentioned in the beginning of the interview that are also altered. Is there anything of significance to people that either contractors or the government in the rules that as they existed before ADR was added that we should know about?
Nothing all that significant. Probably the most significant thing is something that wasn't added, and that is that a number of commentators wanted the board to move to an electronic filing system, which is the which is something the federal courts have implemented very successfully, and it's streamlined the filing process magnificently in federal court. Board doesn't want to go there just yet, so we're still back to some extent in paper, dealing with paper and dealing with email filing and stuff like that at the board.
And for those contractors and agencies that are have to go to the GAO or to the courts, does the GAO process for contract disputes also have alternative dispute resolution provisions there?
GAO bid protests do use alternative dispute resolution. It's somewhat of a different type of thing, and that is at a certain point in the case, if the attorney advisor handling the matter at GAO is convinced that one party or the other is going to lose, he may convene an ADR or she may convene an ADR process to let him know, to give him a chance to stop the process and either withdraw the protest or take some kind of corrective action. That's how things normally work at GAO. At the Court of Federal Claims, they have a similar type of ADR process to the one I've described at the board.
All right. Well, that's probably a discussion for another day. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.